I'm going to invite Pete to come and speak to us this morning. But before he starts, let me pray for him.
Thanks, Martin.
Dear Father God, we thank you so much for Pete. And we thank you for the words of yours that he brings to us this morning. Open our ears, Lord. Open our hearts to hear what he has to say in your name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Martin. Okay, one moment, caller. Now, before you all start getting up out of your seats and heading towards the hall, there is no golf sale today, alas. And I hope you can recognise what this sign is. Otherwise, you might think I've gone a bit nuts. So what happens in some town centres is you get people that hold these up to be able to obviously point towards, in this instance, a golf sale. Now, I originally thought that these were a bit of a joke until I actually looked into them, and they are genuinely used for signposting. And I really wanted to think about today that these point to new things. They point to things that people aren't aware of and things that they didn't know were there. In this instance, a golf sale. But I really wanted to use this as my first illustration today when we think about our Gospel of John's account of John the Baptist. Good old camel hair wearing, locust and honey eating John the Baptist. In fact, he is the signpost to a new thing. Some people even refer to him as John the Signpost. And he's actually one of my favorite people in the New Testament. And I'm not alone in this one, because in Matthew 11, Jesus himself says about John, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." I mean, wow. What an acclamation from Jesus, our Saviour. So I thought today what we might do is we might start up a John the Baptist fan club. And I've done some research as to why this might be a good thing. Firstly, John was filled with the Holy Spirit. He's named in all four of the Gospels, as well as in the book of Acts. He was actually named a prophet by Jesus, and by biblical accounts, he attracted large crowds that he preached to with a take-no-prisoners approach. I mean, he even baptized Jesus. So I don't think it takes much to see why he's so worthy of his very own fan club. But one of my favorite passages on John the Baptist comes when he's incarcerated in one of Herod's jails. And we read in Matthew how he's having these niggling doubts as to whether what he had been saying in the wilderness about Jesus being the Messiah was actually true. Now, we don't know what the conditions were like in prison, but I guess they were pretty glum. And he was probably sat there thinking, if Jesus really is the Messiah, why am I locked up here? So he sends out some of his disciples with a message to Jesus, and Jesus replies to him, seemingly unoffended by the question, but he sends word of the amazing work that he is doing so that John can know that what he was proclaiming in the wilderness was true. He was the Messiah. And I take such great encouragement from that, that even John the Baptist, devoted John the Baptist, who in Jesus' words, no one greater was ever born, can still have honest doubt. It kind of makes it okay when there are times when I can question my faith. And it's okay that sometimes I need a bit of a reminder about who Christ is. John was able to speak to Jesus in person through his disciples, just as we are allowed to speak to Jesus, the living Jesus, through prayer. Frederick Buechner, an American theologian on this, says, "If you don't have doubts, you're either kidding yourself or you're asleep. Doubts, he says, are the ants in the pants of faith. They keep it alive and moving. So I hope I present a really compelling case as to why we should start a John the Baptist fan club right here at St. Paul's. Or perhaps, hopefully, you see the massive irony in why doing this would be such a terribly wrong thing to do. The irony is that the fact that a fan club would have been the very last thing that John the Baptist would have wanted. The most striking element of John's ministry is how he spent so much of his time constantly pointing away from himself, constantly pointing other people towards Christ. And that's the message in today's gospel reading for me today. It all started when John's first encounter with Jesus, where he points at him and says, "Look, the Lamb of God." And it's in this encounter that we first see some of John's disciples start following Jesus. But John didn't seem to get grumpy about this. John had a great opportunity to become a celebrity of the time and to make it all about him. In our reading today, we hear how the priests and the Levites came up to him and asked him if he was the Messiah, to which he said, no. So they said to him, "Well, are you Elijah or the prophet?" And he says, "No." So they say, quite rightly, they say, "Well, who are you?" And he replies by quoting Old Testament scripture from Isaiah, and he was pointing to the Lord. He was pointing away from himself and pointing to Jesus. And when the people that used to listen to John were thinning out because they were going and listening to Jesus instead, John could have quite easily come up with a really rousing speech or instruct them that they must stay with him. But instead, he pointed them to Jesus and he allowed them to go to Jesus. He pointed towards Jesus and said, "He must become greater. I must become less." In one Bible translation, it reads, "Jesus must become more important while I become less important." So far from wanting his own fan club, John wanted people to be pointed towards Jesus, pointed and signposted towards God, signposted towards being saved. And although this golf sign points to something new, something people don't know about, they always point to something that's temporary, something that will eventually finish. But when John the Baptist pointed to Jesus, he was pointing to something that's eternal. Through the power, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, being both fully God and fully human, we are saved forever. So, this is our challenge today from John the Baptist. How do we, as Christians and followers of Christ today, point people and everything that we do towards the Trinity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? How do we make Jesus the importance, even if it means we become less important? I have a great temptation of making things about me. See, I've even done it in my sermon today. I like to do things how I want to do them, rather than how God wants me to do them. I often take credit for things when, actual fact, the credit is God. And I don't always do what John the Baptist so actively promotes by pointing and signposting everything to Jesus. By pointing and signposting everything to our God. Now, I have always struggled sometimes in Christian circles and outside of them when people say those words, "Yes, But what would Jesus do? I don't know if you've ever been asked that question yourself. Maybe you're one of those people that asks the questions. And I would never really know what to say until I was with a very good priest friend of mine who was in a mildly heated conversation with a member of his church who said exactly that. She said, "Yes, Vicar, but what would Jesus do?" To which, with the calmest of faces, he replied, "Well, if we're thinking about what Jesus would do, then I guess flipping all these tables over and chasing people around with whips is well within the realms of possibility." It was a great answer and a very quick end to the conversation. But joking aside, Jesus has given us all the tools we need to signpost to God. Not only by thinking, what would Jesus have done whilst he was incarnate here on earth, but through his entire teaching and ministry. The Church of England back in the 80s thought hard about this, and they came up with a five easy point guide that summarizes all of Jesus' ministries and actions so that we can use these to signpost to God. They're called the five marks of mission. And as John signposted to Jesus, we can use these five marks of mission to signpost to God. The first is by proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Then we have teaching, baptizing, nurturing new believers. We can respond to human need with loving service. We can transform unjust structures of society. And lastly, we can strive for the safeguarding of integrity of creation. These are five great pointers that I genuinely see very much alive and active today at St. Paul's. So signposting can be a really big thing that we do, or it can actually be some of the smallest things we do. We can signpost to God by inviting people to the new Alpha course that starts next month that Martin mentioned this morning. We can signpost to God by praying for and with others. We can signpost to God by giving thanks and ensuring that the praise goes the right way. And we can signpost to God by making sure we make things about him and not us. And I think the ultimate signpost is by living out the life that God wants us to live out. So if we use John's message that we need to make Jesus greater, even at the cost of making ourselves less, then we can all be signposts to God's unfailing, loving, safe and secure promise of eternal salvation. Amen.